Let's talk a little bit about this lost super science and technology, because I think that'll really set the tone for the various things we're going to talk about tonight. Tell me a little bit about your expeditions.
Well, George, the first expedition was down into the Amazon, where they were shrinking human heads down in the Hebrew country, eastern Ecuador. Not quite sure whether it's in Peru or Ecuador, because it's all jungle and there's no borderline. But these people retained memories of their ancestors having gone down the Amazon River 3,000 miles and traded with great ships coming from the Middle East, from the East. And among the things that they showed me were plates, like pages of books, but they were made of metal, and they showed Egyptian hieroglyphics. These were thousands of years old, George.
And in the Amazon?
In the least expected place. Here were primitives, as you would call them primitives, I suppose, but they were forced to go into a more primitive lifestyle, I imagine, when their civilization was destroyed. They said that their ancestors used to live in cities and had huge stone buildings. Well, now these people just use grass huts, of course, now, but they're quite intelligent people still.
Now, Jonathan, what were these ancient people from the Amazon doing with Egyptian hieroglyphs?
It looked like there was a trade between South America and George, not just South America, but the Americas in general, and the Old World. There's a lot more known before the time of Columbus than we've been told.
I have a feeling you may be right. And maybe some of that knowledge and technology was shared on both ends. As a matter of fact, there are old depictions of corn in some Egyptian pictures. In the corn or maize really wasn't found until much, much later, right?
That's correct, yes. And also methods of weaving. The Egyptian calendar was very similar to the calendar used by the Incas. And the little grass reed boats that they have on Lake Titicaca in South America, and I've ridden around in some, very interesting. They're similar to those that used to ply the Nile River.
Now, when we talk about the lost super science and technology, is this technology that allowed them to do things a little better than we thought they could do? Or was this technology, Jonathan, that might have even been far superior to what we have today?
I believe that in many cases, George, it was superior. In fact, I had some time one afternoon to try to work it out, and I came up with 64 similarities. Well, actually, 64 accomplishments of the ancient world that we have not yet been able to achieve.
All right, give me a handful of them.
Well, one was the ability to lift enormous weights that we still can't lift without combinations of cranes. Great massive stones, two stories above the ground, and weighing up to 2,000 tons each. Now, we just can't do that today. If we could transport them, wonderfully, but we can't even transport them on trains, anything that heavy.
So you're talking about like the blocks of the pyramids?
Yes, and places like Baalbek and various spots over in South America. These people thought on a grand scale, George, and the big stones, single stones that were weighing so heavy were no problem. I mean, if it was hard for them, they would have used smaller stones.
Are you saying that you know how they did this?
Well, we weren't there to see it happen, but I found an interesting pattern among the stories that have been handed down by different peoples. There's written records in Egypt that suggest they used sound waves to lighten blocks of stone against gravity. And when you compare that with the legends of the Bolivian people, plus those of the Caroline Islands in the West Pacific, plus those of India, there's a similar explanation given by the descendants of the people, and that is that they used some kind of sound and that levitated the blocks.
I've always suspected that they had something like that, Jonathan. In your opinion, how did they know this? Why did we lose it?
It's interesting that when a civilization is about to go down, it becomes very socially and spiritually out of tune with everything around it. And these civilizations tended to deteriorate as time went by, and then some of them were destroyed, others simply went down into third world status, and they've never recovered from it.
All right, the fact that they had the technology tells me that somewhere along the line there were true advancements in order to get to that point that they're at. We're not even there. You know, let's say that our knowledge is, let's just say 200 years. In 200 years, we've had a tremendous technological advance in this country. In their case, for them to get to the point, you know, let's say the pyramids were built 10,000 years ago, not five. For them to have that kind of ultrasound type technology, how far back was their civilization in order to get to that point? Because we're not even at it now.
All we're finding, George, is a recovering of what's been lost. And we're still not
back in pieces. Yet. Yeah, that's a good point. But how far back do you think that technology went? Again, assuming the pyramids are 10,000 years old, was it 20,000 years ago? 30,000 years ago?
I think our dating will always be speculation if we go
sure.
by what we see. The oldest written records, of course, don't go back that far, as we know. But at the very start, as far as we have written records, we have high technology, George.
Okay, so that's one of 64 means of technology that you said that they had, we haven't yet. Give me another example or two.
Okay. Another one is the ability to have lights that can burn for thousands of years without going out. Now, we can certainly put on lights and have electric power plants going, but without the electric power plants, we would not have the lights.
All right. Give me an example on that one.
Well, in Egypt, for example, there have been found, and also in Rome and in India, in West Irian Jaya, which is Western New Guinea, and in South America, there have been honest-to-goodness reports of the discovery in ruins and in tombs of lights that were still burning. And we know that those lights were put in place thousands of years ago, particularly where we can document a tomb, for example, in Rome. Cicero's daughter. Now, Cicero lived when? About 2,000 years ago? Something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cicero was a great orator of Rome. Now, his daughter was put in a tomb in Rome, and in the 1600s, her tomb was opened, and these lights were still burning, one at her foot, one at her head. And they were seen by thousands of people. Later on, they were destroyed by vandals. Vandals seem to be everywhere.